shall return to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians, the third chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. I trust that you have your Bibles tonight, because we've asked you to bring your Bibles night after night, because the things that we discuss are taken right from God's Word. And as I've said night after night, I'm convinced that men and women are anxious to hear what God has to say. They're not concerned with my thoughts on politics. They're not concerned with our thoughts on sociology. They're not concerned with our thoughts on the things of today. But they are concerned with what God has to say about the problems that we face today. Every one of us faces certain problems every day. I believe that the Word of God casts its shadow, and the Word of God casts a light upon every problem that is faced in human existence today. Tonight, Colossians, the third chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Tonight, I'm not going to give you my own ideas primarily. I'm going to go right to God's Word and see what God has to say about the home as it relates to us in 1949. And so we read these words. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Our children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In this passage of Scripture, we find the four different types of people that we find in the home. When the home begins to break, and the home begins to crumble, and these things happen in our home, our society is on the way down. The word home tonight stirs a thousand memories in our mind and in our heart. As long as I live, I'll never forget my own home. I'll never forget my father. I'll never forget my mother. My father and mother that reared their children in the fear of the Lord. My father and mother that I never heard have a crossword between them. My father and mother I do not ever remember even saying a slang word, much less a word of profanity. My father and mother that prayed their children into the kingdom. And all their children tonight know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior because they were prayed into the kingdom of God. The first institution ever established was the home. Before the church, before the school, before the government, God established the home. The first marriage ceremony ever performed was performed by God Himself in the Garden of Eden. And today in America, we have 31 million American homes. The very basis of our entire way of life is built upon the home. Rich or poor, whatever color, whatever nationality tonight, we call some place, whether it be a hovel or a cottage or a palace, we call it a home. And so a home reaches right down into the very center of our being and stirs a thousand memories of days of yesteryear when we remember father and mother and the family circle that tonight may be broken or unbroken. Jesus was born in a home. Jesus not only loved his home, but he loved the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we find that Jesus went to many homes and sanctified the homes of his day by his own presence and by his own endorsement. But tonight, as we look at the American scene, and we look at the social problems of our great nation and also the continents of the world, the greatest problem confronting us tonight is the breakdown of the American home. A nation is only as strong as her home. The greatest men of our day were not fashioned on battlefields, but in the cradle at the fireside. Our country tonight should fear disloyalty and contention at the fireside more than the plots of scheming politicians, because the very root and the very foundation and the heart And the core of our society tonight is the home. But Satan's grand strategy today is to destroy the home. Because when our homes break, our nation is crumbling upon the ruins of other empires and other cities and other nations that have risen to mighty heights and have broken, first because the home was broken. I say tonight, our major problem is the home. If we can solve our marital problems and solve our home situation, we have solved the major problem in the American way of life. But tonight, I want you to turn to God's Word. And first of all, I want us to see the responsibilities of each member of the home. First of all, I want you to see the responsibility of the wife. Listen to this. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is fit in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that the husband is to be a tyrant. It conveys the idea of unselfish service and unswerving loyalty. That's exactly what it means. Christ is the head of the church as the husband is the head of the wife. Now, the relationship between wife and husband is both at the same time equal and unequal. It's equal as far as her mind, her conscience, her position, her privilege, her freedom, her happiness is concerned before God, because God said the twain shall be one flesh. And because of the husband, the wife before God has equality. But there is also inequality because of the governmental arrangement of the family. It's not a question of who is superior. Both are the superior in God's given place. In Ephesians 5:22, we read these words. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Didn't say part of the time. It said in everything. In Ephesians 5:33, we read these words. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. That is a command from the Lord God that the wife reverence her husband. And then in 1 Peter 3:1-2, we read these words. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now all you husbands that have been sitting there enjoying every bit of this and just drinking it in, I want you to listen a little bit. Because in Ephesians 5:23, it says this. For the husband is the Savior of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now listen, here's man's place in the home. Man is God's deputy. And it's a fearful responsibility to be the head of a home and responsible to God. You're the protector. You're the provider of the home. And many men today have neglected the home for the club, the lodge, or the theater, and too much taken with making money to rear their children in the fear of the Lord. All the women said what? Then the scripture says also, honor your wife. The scripture says concerning the husband that he's to honor your wife, to love your wife, and help her stay young. You want her to be young and pretty and attractive, you help her. Don't make her do all the work. And then don't be a roughneck. Be a gentleman. Be courteous. Be thoughtful. Do little things, but you know that women like little things. It's not that big thing, but it's the daily, consistent, little thing that shows your love and appreciation for her that means so much. and remember the marriage vow that you took at the altar. You know what would be good for all of us? To take out the old marriage vow and read it over again to each other about 3 or 4 times a year. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband, the scripture says. Now a lot of you boys and girls that have been sitting there taking it all in, we're coming to you too. Because the scripture says, children, obey your parents in all things. How many things? All things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know what the devil's philosophy is today? Do as you please. Kick up your heels. No restraints. You know that our children will be in society what they are at home. And our children tonight, 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and on up, are roaming the streets, no home discipline, no home restraint, and our courts are filled, our jails are filled, our juvenile homes are filled, and our nation is almost going to the dogs because of our young people out of hand. We need to come back to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. Many of us have damned our children because we refuse to take our responsibility in correction in the home. Do you mean to say that you cannot be a good Christian, the fellow who doesn't rule well his children? Do you mean to say tonight that the fundamental matter of Christian character, that parents must make their children obey and must punish them and restrain them and discipline them? But someone says, why, you don't mean to say that, do you? Yes, the scripture says exactly that. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, God gives the qualifications for a bishop or a pastor of the church, and likewise the qualifications for a deacon. And about the bishop, 1 Timothy 3, 4-5 says this, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And here it is stated clearly that no matter how sound in doctrine, how fervent in spirit, how clean in life, no man is fit to be an officer of the church unless he has his children well in hand and in subjection. That's what the scripture says. How many times a godly man's influence has been ruined by the children that have come up? The great principle of Scripture, the great principle of Scripture is example. Listen to this. Children are reproductions of the parents. You sow me a bad child, and I'll so show you something 9 times out of 10 wrong with the parents and the way they run the home. You are the example in front of your children. I'll tell you. To rear a family in this godless age in which we're living is a tremendous and fearful responsibility before God. We ought to not take it lightly. It's a heavy responsibility. And then last of all, then we're going. The scripture says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discipline carried out in a fit of anger is a fight between the child and the parent. And while you're angry and your wrath has the best of you, never correct your children. It's a sin against God. And unreasonable and repetitious commands will drive your children away. Let them see Christ in your life. How I thank God for a Christian home. What about you tonight? As a parent, as a dad, as a mother. And the scripture says tonight that if we rear, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That is the word of God. If you've trained your child, and you've prayed over your child, and you've lived in front of your child the Christ-like, God says, someday, they may be wayward now, someday he's going to come back. You know, it's wonderful. God likens heaven to a home. And he says that in heaven we shall have no tears, there'll be no sorrow, and God shall wipe away all tears. And God says that someday we're going to that eternal home, and we're going to rest for eternity and be there with Him. I go to prepare a place for you, said Jesus. I'm building mansions in the sky, a home for eternity. Sometimes I get tired down here, and I get discouraged, and tears come, and the burdens are so heavy, and I wonder sometimes if I can go on, and I look forward to those millions of ages that I'll have to be with Jesus. I'm looking forward to getting home. What about you? I'm looking forward to it. And Jesus says, whosoever will, let him come. And Jesus says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I have not seen, nor ye heard, nor have entered into the heart of man that is being prepared for them yonder in the glory land. Home, sweet home, going home. You can tonight by letting Jesus come into your heart right now. And I guarantee on the authority of this book that every man, woman, boy, and girl can know that they're saved, know that they're going to heaven when they die, right tonight before they leave here, if they let Jesus slip into their heart right where they are.